It's good to see you all this morning as we're here to study the Word of God. And when we find out what God wants us to do, we work on putting it to practice in our lives. That's very important. And I tell brethren that it's good to have gospel meetings, but we have one every Sunday. We have a gospel meeting every Sunday, preaching the gospel, and we're meeting. And kind of explain to them that you can have three meetings a year. You can have a vacation Bible school. But if you don't put it to practice, all you've done was got this came together. Nothing wrong with coming together, but we must put it to practice. That applies to preachers, that applies to elders, that apply to members. If we don't put it to practice, it's just not going to do us any good. And so I want to talk about this morning, preaching that pleases God. Preaching that pleases God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 4, and then we'll read the rest of some of these other scriptures. And Paul was writing to the brethren at Thessalonica, had some good words for them. And I can't get that out of there. But he was writing to the brethren there and encouraging them. And that's what we have to do. We have to encourage one another and have to teach one another. And pardon me. And let's see what Paul says here. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. That word bold simply means they were just confident. They were confident in what they were saying. It don't mean that see how loud you can get. I've seen preachers when first started preaching, they preached to see how loud they would get, and they thought that's being bold. That's not being bold. Bold just simply means confident. Confidence in what you're doing and what you're saying. But if you would look at verse 3, for our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. Now watch him here. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even though we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Now we'll stop reading there for a few minutes. I have a few comments that I want to make. And God is one who knows our hearts. He can see everything about us. He created us. But if we see here that if Paul should handle the gospel with a view to please men, he wasn't pleasing men. Other scriptures tells us that Paul said, if I was still pleasing men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Galatians 1:6 in those scriptures. So if Paul should handle the gospel with a view to please men, that motive would be seen by the Lord when he examined his heart or mind. So we don't want to please men. We want to please God in preaching the gospel. Gospel preachers must always preach the gospel to please God, not man. Now we need to respect people. We need to respect man. And we need to love folk. But we have to focus on pleasing God. and be kind about how we say it and all of that. Somebody said, sometimes it ain't what you say, it's how you say it. That's true. That's true. I agree with that. So we can preach the gospel, but we have to say it the way God wants us to say it. But if you would, look at verse 5. Now watch him here. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Paul said we didn't use flattering words. You ever see a preacher flatter people? It just kind of make you sick. I've seen them flatter the congregation. And we don't do that. We don't flatter people. So that was verse 5. And so what I see here, that Paul did not use flattery. He did not use flattery to hide a motive of covetous, but was interested in the spiritual welfare and not their wealth. Paul wasn't interested in their wealth. He wasn't interested in their money. He was interested in their souls. And we can see that. But look at verse 6. Now watch him here. Nor did we seek glory from men. See, Paul said we didn't seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. Paul said, we did not seek glory from men. I think that glory would have reference to fame. We didn't seek fame. You know. Now they may have received the praise. Paul, the apostles, may have received the praise. But they did not seek. They didn't seek it. That's not what they were after. The glory from men. We give the glory to God. Now look at verse 7. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. See what he says there? We were gentle among you. Let's look at this here. Let's look at some of this. So we can see that Paul and his companions had not been high and mighty in Thessalonica. They wouldn't know what we would call it, big shots. They didn't walk around with the chest stuck out. You know, big shots. They wasn't into all of that. They had been mild and gentle. They had been mild and gentle. They had been kind. In preaching, we have to use kindness. And like I said, even though we're under pressure, you're dealing with people, and I have dealt with people out there and denominational preachers, we still got to be kind. We have to be gentle. And they were gentle among the brethren. Now we need to be confident, and we don't need to be scared. But we need to be gentle and kind. Indicated that Paul, Silas, and Timothy placed themselves on the level of the Thessalonian Christians. In other words, I know they were standing here at times, but they put themselves like as if they were back there. And so, and that don't mean that we don't reprove, rebuke, and exhort and all of that. We do all of that. But they were gentle. They put themselves in those people's shoes. They treated them like their own children. They treated them like their own children. I remember in the neighborhoods when I would go visit my friend, his mother would treat me like her son. If I wasn't doing right, she disciplined me. She disciplined me. And then, when she disciplined me, she called Mom, and Mama disciplined me. She would treat us like our own children because she cared about us. People don't do that today. in the school system. When the teacher disciplined me, Miss Barlow, she had a big old paddle called it Dr. Pepper. And she drilled some holes in it. And she drilled those holes in it because, see, when them holes are in that paddle, that air can go through there and she can really get a good swing. And so I was doing wrong. And I can't remember they back in, whether they took you out in the hall or not. They might have done it right there in the class. I can't remember that. But anyway, she spanked and called Mom. When I got home, I got another one. They will treat you like their own. The teachers will treat the children like their own. Of course, today, sometimes some teachers are messed up. I understand that. And it ain't, you know what I'm saying, but some teachers are messed up. And they don't treat you like they would their own. Well, maybe you may not want them to do that no how, you know. But my point is this, people seem like they cared back several years ago, and they cared about your children. The teachers cared. They want to see you pass. Now they just, not all of them, but some of them just looking for a paycheck. They're just looking for a paycheck. They treated them like their own children. Now, I'm talking about preaching that pleases God. Now, look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. See what Paul says there? Paul emphasizes the extent of his love. He would have sacrificed his own life for them if necessary. That's a good man. Sacrifice his own life if necessary. Preaching that pleases God is preaching that is plain and simple, putting our faith in the power of God. That's what we need to do. 1 Corinthians, another scripture. We need to put our faith in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2, we'll read 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 3. Listen to what Paul says here. He wasn't in it for the prestige of men. And nothing wrong with people encouraging the ministers, but they wasn't in it for the prestiges of men and the popularity of men. But look at what Paul has to say here. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. See what Paul says there? Excellency of speech. Said, I didn't come to you like that. I did not use, what kind of word could I use? I didn't use flowery words and beautiful speaking. He didn't use, do all of that. Big words. Paul was pretty educated, wasn't he? But he was educated, but he didn't use those big words. He didn't use those big words. He was just plain and simple. He said he didn't use excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. And Paul didn't use the wisdom of the world. Any wisdom Paul used, it was the wisdom that came from above. For look at verse 2 there. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. See what Paul is saying? I am interested in what he's saying in the crucified Savior, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he says there in verse 3, now watch him on here because there's something I see here. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. What do you think about a preacher who trembles? Somebody said, now he need to go sit down. Well, here's a man, here's a man here who was trembling. He was in weakness. Let's see what he's talking about here. See, even an inspired man, and this is something that I thought about, because it's going to be talked about being anxious. Even an inspired man may feel anxious and insufficient for certain tasks. Inspired man may be feel anxious. So I'm going to have to say that anxious is not really a sin unless it gets out of control. If I'm anxious where I can't do my job, then I need to do something about that. Now I'm going to read to you Acts 18 and 9. You don't have to turn it unless you want to, but I got it right here, about how Paul was anxious and felt like he was just insufficient for a certain task. Here's what God tells Paul, Acts 18 and 9. The Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. God told him, don't you be afraid. You speak. You don't keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. See that? If you remember 1 Corinthians 2 and 3, Paul seemed to have some of these signs of personal weakness. He was human. For the Lord saw fit to encourage him and tell him to be not afraid, but speak. Speak. Acts 18 and 9. He said, don't be afraid. In this great center of worldly learning, you ever been around a lot of highly educated people? If you're not careful, it can kind of make you feel uncomfortable. And Paul preached to a lot of highly educated people. In this great center of worldly learning, he trembled lest he might not do the work justice. He was afraid that he wouldn't get to those, but he couldn't explain it enough where they would understand. And it kind of bothered him a little bit. However, he determined to depend solely on the Lord's help and wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 2, and look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians 2, and verse 4, and we'll read verse 5. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And so we can see here that Paul depended on the power imparted to him by the Holy Spirit. He depended upon God. And that's what we have to do. Whether we're preaching or not, we depend upon God. Now look at verse 5. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, when our faith is in the power of God, it's going to stay with us. It's going to last. If our faith is in the wisdom of men, then we know that's going to change. If it's in the wisdom of men. Because men, they change. Pleasing man. When you're a gospel preacher or just members in general, you don't do that. You stay with the scripture. Preaching to please God, that's what we do, not man. Sometimes brethren say, here's what they say, any sermons you have online and on YouTube, don't preach those again, because people done already heard that. Just go to something else. Now, I tell people this, that every person don't watch these sermons on YouTube, and every person is not online listening to them. What about new people who never heard it? What about those people? They never heard some things. God want us to preach those sermons again. I got scripture to back me up. He want us to preach those sermons again. You know, we'll watch some of the movies again on TV. I didn't see some of them, the good movies. I've seen them three times. Watch a movie three or four times. There are songs that we will sing over and over again. There are secular songs that we love. And 20 years ago, songs that was put out 20 years ago, we have the radio on, and them songs will come on, and it just light up our souls, don't it? But we listen to it over and over, again and again. But when it comes to the God's Word, they don't want to hear it over and over. And I'm not saying I preach this lesson this Sunday and the same one next Sunday. That's not what I'm talking about. But you take, if I preach a lesson, go back, get one 3 years ago, and there's nothing wrong with that. Because sometimes you have new people and they've never heard that. God wants us to preach those sermons again. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 4:17. 1 Corinthians 4:17. I'm going to have to hurry up now. 1 Corinthians 4:17. Watch it, man. We got to stay with the scripture. I tell brethren, let's stay with the Bible. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you. Make sure everybody finds it there. And it can, we have to stay with the Bible. And when we stay with the Bible and listen to what God says, it's going to be a whole lot less stressful. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you, remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Everywhere in every church. I used to have I just used the term a cluster of sermons, a group of sermons that I would preach when I would do gospel meetings. And they didn't have the YouTube. And they would record the sermons, and sometimes people would listen, sometimes they wouldn't. And so what I would do, if I went to Tennessee preaching, I'd get those sermons, I'd preach them in Tennessee. When I went to Ohio, I preached those in Ohio. I went to Texas, I preached them in Texas. Wherever I went, the same ones. Because they did Louisville, same one. So because they had not heard those sermons. And this is what Paul is saying. As I teach everywhere in every church, he used the same lesson. Victor preaches in Gilstrap, he can use those sermons right here. Because we haven't heard those sermons. And it can kind of make it a little easier for us. And now brethren are saying, Brother Wood, we done heard all that. I've been online and on YouTube. We want something different. It's not anything different. You can preach or you can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelations 1,000 times and it's going to say the same thing. It's just going to say the same thing. Now, I can put a different title on my sermon, but I'm still going to have to use the same scriptures. And that's what I'm trying to get brethren to see. You can put a new title on it, but you have to use the same scriptures. Timothy is Paul's son in the gospel. We know that Paul didn't have no biological children. He wasn't married. He put all his time in the ministry. And Timothy is Paul's son in the gospel. Paul loves him And he praises him for his faithfulness. Paul did praise Timothy for his faithfulness, young man. Paul taught and practiced the same thing everywhere. Timothy is not going to teach anything new. There's nothing new. He is merely going to put the brethren in remembrance of what they've already heard and remembrance of what Paul taught and lived. And that's why I'm saying preaching to please God and not man. That's what we must do. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 now. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Where Paul was writing to the brethren there. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to just read verse 6 to show you something. Then we're going to go back to those scriptures at verse 1. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Now, not in the eyes of man, but if you instruct these brethren in these things, Paul was telling Timothy, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. The old King James read, if thou put the brethren in remembrance. In remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of the good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Now, what are we to keep the brethren in remembrance? Looking at the context of this, go back to verse 1. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Got to watch the false teachers. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. See, so now people, they don't want to get married. Some don't want to get married. What they want to do is check up. Old and young, they want to check up. And sometimes people say, well, we don't want to get married because I can get more benefits being single. And she can get some benefits and I can get some benefits and we can just move in together. We got it. I'm going to tell you what happened. A guy that I used to work with at work, he got married. And it was, as far as my understanding, they got along okay. But they went out to get a house, try to buy a house, and they couldn't get the house. And then the banker, whoever they was talking to, told him, now, if she wasn't married to you, she could get a house. If y'all wasn't married, y'all could get a house. Guess what they did? They got a divorce. They got a divorce and got that house. And that dude moved in there after they got all settled in there. He told me that. But you can't do that being a Christian. If they found out about it, they'd get her in trouble. But he told me that. So shacking up, now if it's just not, it's not good, it's wrong to do that. And so forbidding to marry and commanding, and so we have to keep brethren in the remembrance of these things and preach on these things. You cannot be living together. And it's for the old people and the young people. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And then verse 4. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Back to verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things that we just talked about, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. And then he tells us what to reject and all of that old false teaching. Reject all of that. Study the Bible so we know. Preaching to please God, not man. 2 Peter 3 and 1 now. I'm getting down to the end now. 2 Peter 3, and we'll just read one verse here. 2 Peter 3 and 1, this is what Peter has to say something. So all the apostles, they worked with the brethren on this. We have to remind people. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminding. He said, I'm stirring you up by way of reminding. Peter affirms that this is the second epistle that he writes to these brethren, the second time. He is the author of 1st and 2nd Peter, we know. He states the reason for his writing: to help them remember truths they already know. It's just like you go get your booster shot. You go to the doctor, you get a shot. And so Paul is spiritually shooting them in the arm, so to speak, giving them the booster shot. He's reminding them. You can see that. He is stirring up their pure minds. Our sincere minds, he's stirring them up. One must have a pure and honest heart to understand God's word and live a life that is pleasing unto him. Our minds have to be pure. We got to have pure and honest hearts if we're going to grow. Like I tell people, you can have 4 or 5 gospel meetings. All that's got to be put to practice. And if it was put to practice, I tell brethren, there wouldn't be no racism in the church. It wouldn't be none of that if we put all that to practice. Guess what? We're not doing it. Congregations are splitting and not getting along. Brethren not getting along and all of that. Some brethren, after preacher get a certain age, or 60 or whatever, they looking for another one. They're looking for another preacher. Isn't that something? That's not right. Basic truth needs to be preached again and again to help people remember. People are so easily to forget. They just so easily to forget. Preaching to please God and not man. We have to remind people. One more scripture. Philippians 3 and 1, and I'll be done. Philippians chapter 3 and 1. Philippians 3 and 1, I'll give you time to find that. I got it right here. Some of them I just write down. That way I don't have to turn as many. Philippians 3 and verse 1, and I'm saying that to tell, so we can help other preachers. Style and all of that. Everybody have their own style, but back while y'all finding that, I would be listening to preachers, and like I said, the louder they got, the more they thought they were preaching, but that's not preaching. You wear yourself out in your tonsils, and ain't no preaching. Dizzy headed. I tried that one time and got a little high in the volume. I had to go home later and I said, I'm not going to do that again. Got dizzy. preaching is just what I'm doing here. And the reason why you raise your voice, you got a larger crowd. You do that, but it's just like me sitting down talking to somebody. And then you get more people, and then you get more, and then you have to raise your voice because they can't hear you back there. That's why you raise your voice. Philippians 3 and 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord for me to write the same things to you is not tedious. In other words, long and dull. It's not long and dull for me, but for you it is safe. Then he tells us about beware of false teachers and all of that. We'll talk about that some other time. Let's preach to please God and not man. Now we have to go do the imitation. And I know sometimes people done heard that over and over. We got to do it again. We got to say the imitation, and some of them not doing it. I listen to some of them on YouTube, and they not doing the imitation. They just saying, if we can help you in any way, come on forward. Well, give them the invitation. Cut your sermon. Don't make it so long, and you leave some room for invitation. There may be someone out there who's not a Christian, and they need to hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Believe the gospel, Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Got to hear the gospel, believe it. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. Except you repent, you're going to perish. Jesus tells us. Got to confess Christ before men. Matthew 10:32. Jesus said, whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me, he said, I'll deny you. You have a choice. You can do what you want to do, but at this point where it is. You deny the Lord, he's going to deny you. And then you must be baptized. Sometimes I think teaching this, you don't want to skip anything. You must be baptized. For the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. The Jews on Pentecost, Peter told them to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to tell people every time we preach what to do to be saved. And we're just getting away from that. And when we baptize a person, their bodies, they have to be completely covered. You have to be completely covered. I have baptized, I remember this guy, baptized him, and he was scared for some reason, scared of the water, and he wouldn't let go of that wall. His hand was up. I said, Brother Newton, you got to let go of this wall. You got to be covered. You got to be completely covered with water. Immersion. And I had to get a brother to help me. He said, come over and help me. And so I told him, when I get ready to duck him, you get his hand off that wall. You got to bury that man. And it was a deep, deep place. I know it was deep. He was scared. But anyway, let me go. Let me quit. If you are a Christian and you've gone back in the world, back into sin, please make it right while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.